I tell you, folks, you just never know when those blessings from God will come and in what form they will arrive. If you did, you might never answer your front door. Recently, I was at the kitchen sink, scrubbing away at some dishes, ruminating on this sermon, and lo and behold, I was interrupted by a knock at the front door. Drying my hands and muttering about the healings of Mark's gospel, I walked to the front door to find a man with a briefcase full of publications, eager to ask me just one question. And after introducing himself, he asked earnestly, "Do you believe that God answers all of your prayers, sir?" And I thought, well, today she did. So that we're on the same page, I must admit that I actually look forward to visits from door-to-door evangelists. Whether they are Jehovah's Witnesses, like this man is, or from other sects. Sometimes it's to hear the progression of their questions, other times to oblige their sense of mission, and I'll admit it, just sometimes to see how they'll answer my questions. Because no matter how many questions they bring to my front door, I always have more. This visit, however, with this gospel text on my mind, served both of our purposes. I accepted copies of The Watchtower, thereby lightening his load, and he helped me reflect on what he heard in this gospel passage from Mark. Your classic win-win. So, at my front door, I gave my new companion David the background to today's gospel, with Simon's mother-in-law in bed with fever, Jesus curing her, then curing the whole town of Capernaum, it seems, and early the next morning retreating to a deserted place to pray. And then I shared with him the peace that keeps catching my attention. At this point in the story, the disciples are looking for Jesus, probably looking all over the place, and I'm imagining a bit nervous. I mean, when was the last time you lost the Holy One of God? And when they locate him, they report, probably with some tone in their voices, "Everyone is searching for you. Everyone is searching for you." This phrase sparked a good dialogue about searching with David, my new friend, about what the folks in Capernaum were looking for, and about how people today, whether behind the doors of their homes or behind the gates of their communities, or behind the bars of their prison cells, what we are looking for, what we are searching for. And given the response of the people of Capernaum who lined up outside of a front door to a home where Jesus was staying, maybe looking for is too timid of a phrase. Maybe yearning for might be more appropriate. What this visitor to my door reminded me of was of the intense yearning we all share to be connected. Connected with another, yes. Within that, connected to God. This yearning has also been described by the philosopher Pascal and others as a God-shaped hole that all walk this life with, an infinite vacuum or abyss that we attempt to fill with finite things, with wealth, status, toys, food, on and on and on. All of us live our lives with this yearning to be healed, to be made whole. And for this, we search. When spending time with texts written thousands of years ago in places and cultures different from ours, in significant ways, it is critical to have some context for what we read. And this week is no different, because being ill with a fever, for instance, in the Mediterranean culture of the first century carried with it some potent societal effects that aren't immediately made clear in our texts, though they resonate to this day. Indeed, as has been noted, anthropologists carefully distinguish between disease, a biomedical malfunction afflicting an organism, and illness, a disvalued state of being in which social networks have been disrupted and meaning lost. Illness is not so much a biomedical matter as it is a social matter. It is attributed to social, not physical, causes. And as you may be aware, for generations, the people of Israel had been attempting to codify illness, both what it did to the individual and what it did to the community. And as the generations passed, the codes, these laws, grew increasingly more restrictive and more dehumanizing. It was in this world that Jesus lived, and into controversy that he immediately stepped. Remember, this gospel passage that we've read is only the first chapter of Mark's gospel, and Jesus is already getting in trouble. It's at the very beginning that Mark is telling us that this Jesus is interpreting this set of rules in a very different way and with profound results. And to understand this, it is important for us to look at Christ's actions as well as Christ's words. In last week's gospel, Jesus commanded an unclean spirit to come out at the synagogue in Capernaum. This week, he is in the home of Simon and Andrew. And upon arriving, he is told of Simon's mother-in-law. Insert your joke here. Who is sick with fever. Now, what Jesus does, if it's not viewed in its context, might seem unremarkable. In the words of the gospel, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Simple enough by itself. But recall, in this culture, for a man to touch an unrelated woman is an offense. And in this case, not only is Simon's mother-in-law an unrelated woman, she was also ill and therefore unclean. To touch and heal this unclean woman was completely outside of the social structure and the dominant order. And to do this on the Sabbath? Unbelievable. These symbolic acts were not just about healing, though that happened as well. No, when Jesus literally reached out to Simon's mother-in-law and the hosts of others that he touched and healed, he was challenging the very structures and systems when they kept the unclean, marginalized, broken, and alone. To do this meant he was exposing these systems that kept the unclean away from proper life. And in turn, it meant that he exposed himself. These acts declared this message, the core of what this good news was to be about. That God desires to be with God's people, whether they are unclean, on the fringes, or in any way unfit for communal life. As you can imagine, these were amazing acts for the people of Capernaum. And not surprisingly, the people of Capernaum wanted more. Enough so that Jesus had to steal away in the early dark before daybreak to regain his sense of peace, of self, to pray. And this is where the disciples found him to tell him that everyone was searching for him. Of course people were searching for him. People had felt, possibly for the first time in their lives, that what had been previously held against them, what had been used to keep them from being on the inside of the circle, would no longer keep them from the healing touch, the love of God. And in response to this outpouring, the disciples wanted to stay there. Wouldn't you? But not Jesus. Because Jesus knew that this message was meant for more than just those who had already been healed. This healing was meant for all who could receive it. And it is what kept Jesus and his disciples on the move until their deaths. This message wasn't meant to be given and then admired as if it were a piece in a museum. You see, this good news of Christ is not about a static state, a time when all was clean and bright and wonderful. If indeed that time really existed, as we often remember. It is not enough to have offered this healing once or twice or even for years. After all, it was for this reason, this message, that St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Berkeley ventured a few miles north to the wilds of North Berkeley over 100 years ago to offer this message. And it is why we, this day, and for the days to come, have to continue to reach out to those who are yearning for wholeness around us. As I preached about a couple weeks ago, when talking about fishing for people, people are searching, yearning for this message, this good news that we live by here at All Souls. They are looking for the words of this message and for the actions that back them up. Everyone wants to know that they can be made whole, that our sins, our sense of uncleanliness, everything can be made whole. When we do this, we must be prepared to invite people that some in society would deem unfit to receive the grace of God. If we are serious about reaching out to those who are seen as unclean, those in need of social wholeness, then who among us, who around us needs to be recognized? Because we cannot fool ourselves into believing that these social orders of the healthy and the unhealthy no longer exist. Who will we reach out to? Will it be those with mental illness who are routinely shunned or ignored? Or those recently in prison? Or those soon to be back on the outside? Or those who are yearning to be out and to know that they are loved by God? Or those who are without work or worried for their next meal and are afraid to speak of it, to seek the support of this community? Who are those who have been made to feel less than whole, made to believe that they do not belong? They are here today. And how will we, you and me, reach out to proclaim this message of good news? Friends, we reach out like Paul advises in his first letter to the Corinthians, as a Jew to Jews, to be under the law to those under the law, as one outside the law to those outside the law, being weak with those who are weak. We must be with those we reach out to. Now, to those who wonder if this is just pandering or dumbing ourselves down or lowering to the lowest common denominator, that is not what is being asked of us. No, what we are being asked to do is to simply meet people where they are, to be with them in their searching, their yearning. And when we do this, to share this message, the message that Jesus offered once and for all, that God reconciles, heals all the world in Christ, that those who have been forced to the outside are welcomed in, that those fractured by the cruel divisions of this world are made whole in the healing presence of Christ. This we proclaim. That this healing can be found here at this table in the body, that this healing can be found here in this parish in the body. We have been asked, especially at this time in history, and in this place of renewed sense of mission and ministry, to proclaim this message in word and deed, that no one lives outside of the embrace of the lover of souls. No one. Not just your soul or my soul. All souls live within that embrace.
Let us affirm our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.